Aisling Murphy will be laid to rest tomorrow at 23 years of age. The young woman attacked and killed as she ran along the banks of the Grand Canal in Tullamore in County Offaly last Wednesday afternoon. The Gardaí are still waiting to question a person in hospital about the attack. Aisling's death has once again brought into sharp focus the dangers women face every day from male violence. The Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, says she will publish the long-awaited third national strategy on this issue in early March. What can other areas of society, like our education system, do? We're joined this morning by Colm O'Connor, who is Principal of Cork Educate Together Secondary School, and we're also joined by Mary McDermott, CEO of Safe Ireland, which works on the issue of domestic violence. You're both welcome. Mary, I'll start with you. Leo Varadkar, in that interview with Justin McCarthy yesterday on This Week, he said, and I quote, "It's essential we clearly designate a lead minister in the department for this strategy," end of quote. So that's, he's not suggesting a minister with sole responsibility for the issue, but a minister within an existing department. Is that what you want?
Well, certainly. I mean, I suppose what the first thing I would say is that what I want to explain this morning to your listeners is that at the moment there is no minister with full responsibility for domestic, sexual and gender-based violence in the country. Secondly, policy is placed in justice services, and that means refugees and support services around the country are under children, and then the rest of the responsibilities, which we know require a whole of government response, are scattered across the other departments. Any deep-seated social problem such as domestic violence requires, of course, a whole of government response, and it needs a high level response to it. So at the moment, that's what we are, fragmented and scattered. Taoiseach says, identifies that there's a need for a lead minister. The current situation has not changed for a long time, and we're hoping that the strategy will follow the indications of the National Audit for Infrastructure and bring all of the areas in under one ministry to respond in a coherent and systematic way and fully resourced way to domestic violence.
And what do you believe needs to be at the heart of this strategy?
Well, if I was to speak plainly, under the burden of Aisling Murphy's horrific murder and what we all feel, the outrage, the absolute outrage and sorrow of this horrific event, what I would say is that domestic violence in this country is a large-scale social problem. It is not a matter of poor personal choice. And while we welcome all targeted actions that address the individual, if it is not systemically responded to, we will fail. We will simply fail. So in that regard, we think that domestic violence, for example, is akin to climate change. And we would be calling for a high-level unit in the first instance in the Office of the Taoiseach to really sit out and consider this. Everything has to be addressed here. Everything from language right down, and from the point of view of the strategy which Minister McEntee is addressing at the moment in terms of bringing it out in March, the four pillars of the Istanbul Convention, it's the first strategy since the ratification of Istanbul, since we ratified Istanbul, and the framework for Istanbul are the four pillars: protection, policy, prevention and prosecution. So they're standard frameworks that are used in most places, but not always, and we notice they're changed. So just what I would say is that we have called very clearly for community and children to be added into that strategy, and we want it to be responsive and on the ground from top right down.
Not at all. It's very, very important. Let me bring in Colm O'Connor now. Colm, it's a massive issue with tentacles spreading in so many different directions, all feeding into the end result of domestic, sexual and gender-based violence. From a school's perspective, the education system has a hugely important role too, I would imagine. And ending single-sex schools, is that top of your list for starting to address it or helping to address it?
I don't know if it's at the top of the list, but I think it's very important. I've worked in both sectors for about 10 years in each case. I must point out that I loved both schools and that they both had great qualities, but all boys schools tended to have a lot of homophobia and elements of misogyny as well. And I just kind of feel that the atmosphere in mixed schools, I find, is much more kind of humane, and people see each other as more fully human. And so when there's conversations like about consent and body image and sexual violence and so on, you really need to be looking at somebody and listening to the tone of their voice and seeing into their eyes, and in order to fully grasp the concerns of other people. So I think that quality is lost when it comes to single-sex schools. So I think that I think we should move as much as possible away from single-sex schools, and that we're an outlier in the developed world in that regard. We may not see it because it's what we can see. It's all around us at times, but it's not normal, you know.
And other things on the curriculum itself, the subjects which deal with relationships and what is within those curriculums, what is within those subjects, what is within history, for example. And you argue that perhaps the teaching of the history of how women have been treated in this country and teacher training in SPHE, that should be at a professional level. These things are important, you think?
I do. SPHE is currently taught largely by volunteers. It's sometimes, in the worst case scenario, it's a timetable filler for people if they don't have full timetables. There is no undergraduate course for people who have an interest in that area, and there's limited teacher training in the area. So I would argue that it needs to be taken much more seriously as a subject and needs to be professionalised. With regard to history, I'm a history teacher, and it strikes me as frightening that students would likely go through school without having heard of many of the abusive practices that went on in the 20th century for women, whether it's the legality of marital rape or financial dependence, mother and child scheme, Magdalene laundry, symphysiostomy, all these things. Many children or many students leave school not knowing that they happened.
Guidelines in primary schools have been amended to the extent to reflect the changed nature of family in Ireland today. Does it need to go further?
Yeah, I think that the state should be the sole decision maker in terms of what goes into an RSE course. Last year, the Flourish programme was produced for Catholic primary schools, and it drew a lot of negative attention from parents because it included phrases like that puberty was a gift from God and that we're perfectly designed by God to procreate with him and so on. And this isn't the language that people use in their everyday lives. It's not the concerns that people have. And I think that most parents don't want that. They want much more grounded, factual information for their children. But I think that the problem there is that there's a tendency in the department, there's a flaw in the Education Act, because it talks about health education being delivered with regard to the characteristic spirit of the school, but in consultation with parents. But the consultation with parents, it never happens. And since that was written in 1998, the views of parents have changed drastically anyway. So we have a disconnect now between the ethos of many schools and the views of parents. And I think that needs to be addressed in a revised Education Act.
Okay, let me finally just go back to Mary. Mary, what do you think of what you've been hearing there? Are they strong, practical suggestions for how the education system could have a role in all of this?
Yes, I think Colm is spot on in everything he's saying. He's just put his finger on the button, really, in regard to this. My one caution would be, you know, around the dismantling of single-sex schools, which, by the way, I fully support, just to be clear, is that there's evidence that girls do not do as well academically in mixed schools. Now, I might be completely out of date, and I hope I am on that, but just to consider the effect on girls of being in a mixed environment, we have a lot to consider about peer bullying and sexual pressures on them and so on and so forth. So again, I would come back to the analogy with climate change. We need to sit down and really consider this very strongly. We need a whole of government response. I notice Minister McIntyre mentions culture, but for example, she doesn't mention the Department of Housing, which is crucial for the victims of domestic abuse, for example. The dearth in sexual assault supports and so on. So I fully support what Colm is saying, but we need a wide and deep response to this.
Thank you both very much for joining us on Morning Ireland. Mary McDermott, CEO of Safe Ireland, and Colm O'Connor, Principal of Cork Educate Together Secondary School. It's 7:29. We'll be back after this break.